This is April 26th, and the next meeting is on May 24th, 1992, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well then, my friends, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to deal with two varying topics today, if we can arrive at the second one. As you know, there's a lot of talk goes on up here. So we'll try to get two subjects covered. There's two questions have come up, and I'd like to address them as best I can. The first one is, you have been told over and again that you are running what we have called negative mantras in your life. Things like, I'm not worthy of love, or I'm ugly, or I'm stupid, or I'm incapable, or other kinds of mantras like life is not trustworthy, life is unpredictable, you always lose what you get, and if you want it, you can never get it and have it and keep it, and all of these kinds of things. They fall under the general category of a negative mantra. And the question is, when you find that you have one, which is the first step, then people say, then what do you do about it? Well, I had hoped that I had addressed this in various ways for the last, 14 years. However, let us go through it again, because it's really very simple. If you understand the process of how you created it, then you are in a marvelous position to understand how you are going to remove yourself from it. Now, you create your beliefs about yourself by listening to all kinds of information. Some of the information comes from your family, some from your world, from your culture, from the street you live on, from the staff at your school, from life itself, from the books you read, from the television information. You are receiving tremendous amounts of information all the time. Indeed, one of the difficulties of living in this particular age, which is why I think you should be very, very compassionate with young children, and instead of becoming judgmental at the things that you see happening to them in their teenage years, if you could realize that they are subject to a tremendous amount of influx of information that you, if you were older than that, did not have in your life. They are constantly having to override tremendous negative belief structures. If you want to find out what they believe about the world, watch one evening's television, and you will realize that this is how they believe the world is. Now, you may not believe that. You may go around your home saying something's different. You know, God loves you, everything's grand, life is trustworthy, and then they see something to the contrary hour after hour on the television. Which do you think they're going to believe? So you have to understand that there's a tremendous amount of information that is being received. Now, in the past, you built your belief structures on yourself, about yourself, in exactly the same way. You didn't have any filter system to filter through much of the information. Now, you did filter through a lot of it, but you're not really aware of it. So all I would ask you is to be considerate and loving of yourself. And the first step is the acknowledgement deeply inside of yourself, oh, I have a lot of negative beliefs about myself in relationship to a relationship, to health. You want to, if your health has decreased in the last few years, you are running a very negative statement about health, because it is possible to be healthier the last day of your life at 91 than it is when you were 26. The only thing that stands between that is your belief about that. And so as you begin to understand the numerous strands of your own awareness, then the question arises, all right, now what? Well, first of all, what we have established does not usually work is to begin to place all over your house, you know, on the mirror in the bathroom and on the refrigerator and so on and in your car, a statement. For example, something about, my life is filled with everything that I need and want. All right, you have this everywhere, and you say 6 months later, I've got the signs all over, and my life is not filled with what I need and want. So something is missing. There is a statement being made, but there's no connection being made. All right, now, simple rules. You have in each moment of your life, bubbling up from the depths of your being, you have bubbling through all of your mind, your emotions, and your physical body, incredible power source. It is a power source that does not depend on your health, your state of mind, your state of emotion. It is a constant, never-ceasing, throbbing, pulsating, magnificent, magnetic motion that you can call God awareness, you can call the source, you can call all that is, you can call it the void, or it doesn't matter. Whatever you name it, what this is a moving, dynamic principle and power and awareness. And it actually is trying to bubble up as often as it can through all of your distractions. And it is the distractions that keep things from manifesting in the way that you would wish them to manifest. So what you have to understand is the simplicity of this, and it is so simple that you aren't going to pay attention because it is very, very simple. Rule number one, this power source is constantly, totally, and completely available for you to feel and to become aware of if you will simply silence your outgoing mechanism of thought, feeling, motion, and begin to settle down into the moment. And then begin to do, which is another problem, so let's talk about it, begin to feel it. There is some question about how do you feel things. My friends, without insulting you, you feel things by feeling them. Most of you feel things by thinking them. This is the best defense of your psyche, and this is the obstacle to your peace. This is the obstacle to your joy. This is the obstacle to your bliss. This is what you have to understand. Pay attention to yourself. Are you feeling your feelings, or are you thinking your feelings? Now, what's the difference? Well, let's be very simple. Where do you feel your feelings? You feel them in your body. The body is that which is given as the gift that says this is the vehicle in which you will feel all of the things that come into your awareness. So when you begin to realize that we mean simply feeling, that means most of you, you know, most of you sit a lot of your life, and do you know, you don't know how it feels to sit? Because you're not feeling you're sitting. When you're sitting, you're thinking. How many of you can really remember how it feels to be driving a car, to feel the throb of the engine and the motion on the wheel within your hands and the motion of the buttocks against the seat and the heat coming up from the floor and the smell in the car, whatever that might be, and the feeling of the wind as it moves through it? I am talking about feeling. And I'm talking about feeling whatever is happening at the moment. It is the most exquisite way to break out of all of your mental limitations. Because, my friends, most of your limitations are not emotional. They are mental. You are not anywhere near as aware of your emotions as you are of your thoughts about your emotions. Example. Many of you begin to feel something painful. Somebody says to you, I have something to say to you. Well, at that moment, I can almost assure you have ceased to feel. Because what you are absolutely sure of is what you are going to hear is going to be something that is going to bring a sensation in your body that you don't want. Because you don't. There you are. So what is the first thing you do? You cease to feel and you begin to think about what you are hearing. And so you hear it with your thinking apparatus only. You bypass the entire feeling. So you take all this information into the mind. And as you know, the mind has its wonderful job, and its job is to always bring up at least two points of view. So the mind is listening to what they're saying, and at the same time, if you're paying attention, you are not feeling, you are mentally creating a rebuttal. Whether you say it or not, you are running a mental answer to their question, whether you have the courage to say it or not. You are running your response. You are not listening. And most of all, you are not feeling. You are not feeling. Now, we run into trouble here because there are different schools of thought on this. And one school of thought says, now, your job is to surround yourself with light, and then whatever comes through you comes through the light, and so on and so on. Now, if that is your point of view, by all means, continue that. I do not recommend that, because in the end, you and the speech and the person are all one, and what are you protecting yourself from? You see, in the end, you're either all of it, or you're somehow exclusively a part of it. And as you know, our teaching has been to give you the moment of excitement where you totally know completely and utterly that you and everything in the createdness is the same thing. Even these hostile words coming at you, even this difficulty, even this physical pain, whatever it might be, in some way there's something magnificently other that's going on, and you're missing it. You're missing it. You see, you're missing life, and the reason that you're bored is you're missing life. Now, I mean simply you are missing the ongoing, everyday, what you might even call ordinary aspects of life. The smelling of the flowers, the smelling of the car exhaust. You see, you try to keep one out and let the other in. Well, you know, you have to make up your mind, my friends. Either you are open and willing to really feel everything, that means everything that's present, or you are going to have a hierarchy of things that you will allow in and things that you will not. My friends, that takes up a tremendous amount of effort. Do you understand the effort? You are standing psychically, always on the alert. You have to pay attention. Well, you can pay attention to things in front of you, but how about all those guys behind you? I mean, no, where are you going to look? And how do you begin to look? So you set up, which is what the ego has done, this incredible filter system, and its job is to keep you safe. My friends, you're not any safer with your ego in full explosion. That doesn't make you safe. What makes you safe? The only thing that makes you safe is to be willing on the deepest level to allow everything that is happening to you, in you, around you, about you, in any way, to allow it to be fully experienced by you without any conditions whatsoever. That is called surrender. Now, all of you say, I want to surrender to God. I say, oh, now how are you going to do that? Are you going to go to heaven, knock on God's door and say, God, I have come to surrender. Would you open this door? Here I am. What do they mean when they say you have got to surrender? What is this mechanism? My friends, I'm sorry to say, this is it. This is the mechanism, meaning that in whatever is happening, whether it is, I have something to say to you, or, well, somebody had to tell you, dear. Whatever it might be, the telephone and the fear, the telephones, the letters, your life, whatever it is, if it is in your life, it is there for one reason only, and that is for you to fully experience it, fully, completely. And you say, I am afraid, and I say, would you please give yourself 1 year of the opposite? 1 year of the statement that I am not going to be afraid to feel my own feelings, to feel people's thoughts as they come to me. You know, thoughts don't come as ideas. They come as energy. You all know this. I don't mean to make you, I hope you understand where we're coming, the space of awareness we're asking you to come from, which is when you hear something, you are not really hearing symbols. You are hearing energy that's in motion, and it is taken into the body just as great music is, just as bad music is. Whatever it is, it all is the same process. It is energy that comes into you, and then this magnificent process called living begins to happen inside of this that you have called yourself. So the only way to really understand life and its meaning, to pulsate with it, to feel the presence of the power of your own life, which is God, is to this moment decide that you are going to start to feel everything. And I mean something as mundane as beginning to feel your breath, beginning to feel your body sitting, be all the pains. You know, when one of the processes is, if you have a physical pain, you try to avoid it. Well, of course, first of all, you take all the drugs that dampen it. And then when that works to whatever extent, then your awareness is directed away from that pain. Your awareness is directed by a part of your psyche away from that pain. Now, What we really are here to do is to try to help you remember, to reawaken in you a truth that you know, which is that the way through is through it. You cannot get out unless you move through it. So when you have the physical pain, if you would please just take the power of your awareness and focus upon it, feel it completely, experience it fully, without any stories about it. Well, it must have happened yesterday when I was mowing the lawn and I hit that rock and so on. You don't know. You have a pain. That's all you need to know. Your emotional pains come up. Now, and please, here we get into trouble again, because my next statement can be difficult. So, and also it is true about a lot of your emotional pain. Now, most of you have gone to therapists because you need to have the courage to feel your emotional pain. Is that not true? Isn't that why you go? So that you will have the courage to feel your emotional pain. There is nothing magic in that therapist. There is nothing magic other than the magic that you bring to it by your willingness to feel it fully. Without any need for stories or explanations, you can go into the past and rediscover some patterns. Absolutely. That's all well, but at the end, you know how the healing takes place. The healing takes place in some way that your mind doesn't know. It just begins, a part of you begins to relax. I wish it would be so exciting on one's first day of therapy to have some kind of an energy tightening test. That reflects the amount at which the cells are like this. You see, like this, like this, like this. And then as the days and the weeks and the months, to keep that test going. And then finally, when the last day that you say to the therapist, I think we've had enough, I think we're clear. What do you mean? You mean that that test would be that you would have relaxed, that the cells are now open and alive and throbbing and pulsating. They are no longer imploded. They are in a state of relaxed allowing. And that's when you find yourself saying things like, I understand, Mom. I understand you. I understand. Good luck. I understand you. Until that time, it's this intense struggle. It's a struggle. But as you begin to allow yourself to feel these feelings fully, the relaxation takes place. Do you really know how you get healed? Do you really know how you get healed from a physical illness? Even if you take a pill from your doctor, do you really know how it works? Do you really understand? What I'm saying here is that life is healing. The incredible, spontaneous feeling of life fully brings healing past the mind, past the understanding. It is a robust, expansive, magnificent opening, because the reason that illness is felt is contraction is felt. And as soon as you have your first feelings of contraction, which happen as you are moving down the birth canal, unless you came the other way, which is by cesarean, then we have a whole other wonderful array. But nevertheless, contraction is felt. You have to really realize that one of the things that we are asking for in the so-called New Age is an awareness for these little ones to begin to be trained, and those of you that have them or will have them, one of the main things we ask of you is to do everything you can to say to these children, feel it and relax around it. Feel it and relax. Feel it and relax. But what have you been told? Take it like a man. Someone hurts you. Don't cry. Stiff upper lip, stiff upper lip, stiff upper lip. I mean, now, just the very thought of, do you see, the very thought of keeping a stiff upper lip. I mean, you know, how can you kiss anyone with a stiff upper lip? You know, How can you do anything like that? So if you just listen to all of the amazing directives that are handed down for generations, didn't you all have the same parents? Isn't it funny? You all have the same parents. Keep a stiff upper lip, you see. Anyway, whatever. So the knowing that what we're asking is the opposite, which is allowing them the statement, yes, tell me, how does it hurt? Where does it hurt? What does it feel like? Breathe into it. Let's be free with it. Let's be open with it. Let's acknowledge it. My friends, look, your parents, or those of you that are parents and followed the past process, you didn't do it because you were terrible, awful people. You did it because at the moment you couldn't think of anything to do but to ignore it. Because there's the old statement, ignore it and it will go away. Really? Just ignore it and it will go away. Really? Really? Not really. So as you begin to understand that what we're asking of you, not only as parents, but as human beings now, is to understand that the process is to stop fighting, it's to stop running. We have been babbling for these years. There's nowhere to go and there's nothing to do. This outrages people, doesn't it? Yes. There's nowhere to go and there's nothing to do. What do you mean there's nowhere to go and nothing to do? That's right. There's nowhere to go and there's nothing to do. What does this mean? This means that somehow, magically, magnificently, in ways that your mind cannot tell you and your emotions cannot translate, that there is an amazing, healing, magnificent, abundant awareness ever present that wants to begin to flood the entire system. So those of you who are in stress, physical, mental, and so forth, my first statement to you is on an ongoing basis, as many moments of the day as you can, I want you please to flood your awareness with the imagery, however it works for you, of dynamic, creative, totally healing power moving through whatever the condition. And when the fears arise, stop and flood the fear. Flood the fear with the condition. Flood the fear with the feeling of open healing. Understand? Just over and over again and again. Right here, right now, you know people that have been healed. The books are coming out beautifully about spontaneous healing. Well, where? Are they special? You say to them, are they special? They say, no, in fact, I'm stunned, they say. How did this happen? And the understanding is so simple that in and around every moment, every particle of awareness, of consciousness, of form, of non-form, matter, non-matter, whatever, all the way, there is this ebullient, magnificent, ever-bubbling substance that you call God consciousness, and it moves into every existing extenuating circumstance and life form and wants to flood it with its warmth and its amazing ability to let things move on. To let things move on. Energy is in constant motion if you will allow it. And when you take it into the body with the willingness to allow things to move and move and move in the moment, you begin to understand. All right, now. So, here we have this negative mantra. I'd like to give you a visual idea of what it is, so that when you do your visualization around it, you'll have some substance to work with. One way of talking about it, and this is repetition, but let's do it again, is that there is within the physical, mental, and emotional force fields around you, areas of what we call crystallized thought, crystallized emotion, crystallized material. It can be physical, mental, emotional. And if you want to spend 25 years finding out how you got it, well, that's your business. But I do suggest an alternative, which is just to say, it's here, I feel it, I know it, and what am I going to do about it? And as you begin to realize that they are in you, and when you begin to flood your entire physical, mental, and emotional bodies, you know, we're back to the bodies, these are bodies, as you flood the bodies with this visualization, what you are doing is dipping into this amazing source that has as its desire to heal and to extend and to bring pleasure. Remember? This energy, left to its devices, wants to move you toward pleasure. So as you begin to flood the system with it, moment after moment after moment, you begin to relax. And where do you get this substance? And this is an important point. This substance is ever present in all parts of createdness and outside of it. It is what it is all made up of. It is the source of all things. It is what is. It is what you are. And all that you need to do, my friends, is to begin to turn your awareness to this amazing, invisible, magnificent something and just have the willingness and the desire to have it full flood through you over and over again. Every time you come up with your negative mantra, and I ask you to pay attention, you first of all become aware of the feeling that you have around that. You see, my friends, the reason that these statements on the bathroom walls don't work is that there's no feeling involved in it. What it is a mental statement of a deep delight, something that you deeply want. But unless you have involved this magnificent substance of feeling tone all around and through it, nothing very substantial happens. And the alchemy is you experiencing what is equals the release of what is, which brings you to move to ever and ever magnificent openings, openings, openings. This is where you begin to feel the warmth in the heart. This is when you begin to feel the letting go of the cells. Any dis-ease is the cells are holding on. The cells are holding on to old ideas, to old pictures, to old statements. And when you begin to understand this, then things begin to relax. I have told you again and again, the simplest mantra is drop and let it go. What do I mean by drop? I mean drop into the moment. I mean drop into whatever, what is happening? What do I mean in the moment, all right? What's in the moment, all right? The heat from the lights on the face is in the moment. The breath going in and out is in the moment. You're seated on a chair is in the moment. The way your hands are against your face is in the moment. That's what I mean by in the moment. Your glasses are on your nose. That's in the moment. Your back is bent over. There's tension in the back. That is what I mean by in the moment. I do not mean that you are to somehow magically abandon the moment and be here now. What does that mean? You have to be, that means this. This is what you feel. What are you feeling? What are you feeling? You feel by feeling. And you begin by feeling whatever is present. And you stop saying, I can't feel this and I won't feel that and I refuse to feel that. And you just begin by being willing to feel. And it is so simple. If you want to enliven your life, then begin to sit. You see, most of you sit in meditations. Talk about that. Because you see, you don't feel in your meditations. You see, you're trying not to feel. Aren't you? You sit down, and what do you say? You say, well, I don't, now, whatever is in this moment is not meditation. I have to go to another state of consciousness. I have to fly above my limitations. I have to go to the land of the clear light. I don't know what you say, whatever you say. All right, everybody says something a little bit different. All right, but what they are all saying is, sitting here in this body and breathing and feeling constipated is not it. This cannot be it. This cannot be it. Because you know that that is not a God-given thought. Now, my friends, the knowing of the excitement that all you have to do is feel precisely what is you at this moment, simply, you know, we've said it before, you have to be totally ordinary. You have to be so ordinary that you have a body. You have to be so ordinary that there are pains in that body, that there are thoughts in that body, that there are emotions in that body. You have to begin to feel it. And then, this is the marvel. When you simply sit there, just feeling what is happening in the moment, all of it, all of it. Don't forget the smells. Don't forget the sounds. You know, stop and think about your last meditation. What smell did you smell? What sounds did you hear? What feelings did you feel? Or were you somehow trying to experience a blank blackboard? You see, something. When you begin deeply to know that all meditation is closing the eyes, if that's your desire, if you like to have them open, that's your business, and simply allowing the full flood of experience of what is. And what happens? When you cease the struggle to get out of this state and move to a higher state, when you cease to struggle against your thinking or your emotion or your boredom, when you simply begin to feel all of it fully, the most exquisite awareness begins to take place. It is that awareness that is what you would call the God consciousness. And you get it by shutting up and sitting down and experiencing you exactly as you are manifesting every moment of your life. You do not have to run away. You do not have to change. You don't have to become perfect or better or holier or nicer or kinder or more loving. You just have to shut up and be present. Now, we come to the last part of this section, which is the question. What do you define as your God? If you will get very, very close to your idea of what you think God is, where God resides, and most of all, how God can move in and through you, then you will be helping yourself a tremendous amount. Because whatever you believe about God and what it is and how to get to it becomes very important right here. My saying to you that there is as much God in a holy thought as a negative thought has a tremendous resistance in most of you. Because you have been taught that you have to have a certain amount of the good in order to experience God. Well, my friends, I look out at all of you psychically, and without offending you, I want to say, I don't think you're going to get much better than you are now. I don't really think that you are going to become much more loving, much more accepting, much less judgmental, until and unless you have a quantum leap, and you do the leap by shutting up and sitting down and allowing it to happen. It is ever present. Your busyness, my friends, keeps it at bay. Your judgment that it cannot come in a certain form keeps it at bay. What we're asking is that you just give yourself a year. If this doesn't work, what have you lost? What have you lost? 1 year of walking around, sitting around your life, just, I'm willing. Every moment, that feeling that you are seeking is constantly present within you, within the trillions of cells that make up your physical body. It is constantly present in every particle of what you call space. It is ever present. And the thing that separates is your lack of willingness to experience anything that comes to you as having that as its basic substance. So, if you have a negative mantra, it isn't going to help you to run around saying, I am loved by everyone in the entire world. My whole world loves me. Or maybe X loves me. Whereas X is out there saying, I don't know if I love you. And you're saying inside yourself, X loves me. And X outside says, I'm not real sure if I love you. And you say, X loves me. Now, who are you going to believe? I'll tell you who you're going to believe. You're going to believe X. You're going to believe X. So how do you do with this? Well, excuse me for saying this, but I don't care if X loves you because I don't think that's the problem. I don't think X loving you or not loving you is the difficulty. I think the difficulty is something much closer to home. I think the difficulty is much closer to heart. I think the difficulty is inside yourself, is that what you are really saying when X says, I'm not sure if I love you, what you are saying, where the difficulty lies, is I am not worth loving. And if by some chance, some magnificent, marvelous one falls in love with me, well, then my troubles really start. Because how am I going to make this one stay? How am I going to make sure? Because as soon as they get to know me, they'll leave. These are negative mantras, and they have nothing to do with X. They have to do with a feeling inside of you that has been built up year after year after year, and please, let's even complicate it more by saying lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. All right, now what is the way out? My friends, you can try as hard as you can to mentally convince yourself that you are loving, and I will tell you, you probably aren't going to get it. How are you going to get it? You are going to get it, here we are again, here we go, sorry. You are going to get it, but the moment that you have stopped trying to find love, create love, get love, keep love, and shut up and sit down and begin to feel, and what are you going to feel? You are going to feel love. Not love for you, instead of for other, you are going to feel love. You are going to feel this incredible, vast, magnificent, electromagnetic substance that you have come to call God or love or enlightenment, flooding your system until all of your circuits go off. And at that moment, you aren't going to care if S loves you, because in that moment, you are love. I mean, you are feeling it, breathing it, tasting it, smelling it, experiencing it. It is something that you now fill yourself with. And it doesn't matter what goes on out there. So the problem is never that people don't love you. The problem is how you translate the fact that they don't love you. Their way out is not to keep trying to find someone outside that says, I love you. The problem is simply finding that substance, which is love, that is ever present in every breathing moment of your life, and allow yourself to feel it. And if you are feeling unlovable at this moment, at any moment, would I make the blatant suggestion, shut up, stop thinking, stop feeling sorry, stop worrying, and start feeling. Start feeling. Start with feeling whatever that feeling is. You know, someone says, I don't love you. You're not really feeling the words. What you're feeling is a tightening of the body. You don't feel the words. Have you thought about that? You don't really feel words. You feel energy. And as they move through you, they tighten up certain parts. So the feeling of, I'm sorry, but I don't love you anymore, has a very definite feeling to it. And you feel it in certain parts of you. You don't feel it in your left toe. You know exactly where you feel it. And you know how it spreads out and where it goes. And it moves up to the throat. Then it goes up to the head. And then it goes down into you until you are clutched in a feeling of terror and fear and confusion and doubt. All of those have feelings. Fear, terror, confusion, doubt. They have feelings. Feelings. They have feelings inside the body. They tighten up certain cells. They, you know all this. Why is orgasm so much fun? Because it's the letting go. That's why. It's letting go. It's just, all right, let's just let go. It's just let go. That's why it's such fun. Why do you think so many people spend their lives chasing that one experience? Because it is a let go. It is a let go that transcends your ability to not have it happen. You see, struggle as you might, eventually something's going to happen. And you let go. It's that letting go. And they say things that, for example, many people feel that very letting go in the sexual act brings you close to God. Why? Is it because a sexual act is, you know, more holy than prayer or eating your lunch or I don't know what, running your computer? No, you know that. It's the letting go. It's the letting go that allows all the boundaries to just dissolve. And you begin to feel something other. And, of course, you identify it with the sexual act, which is fine, but that is not really what it's at all about. And with, I've said this before, and I'm sorry, but maybe you won't be sorry, but God experience and God enlightenment is far transcends the most marvelous sexual experience you've ever had. And just to remember that the reason is this amazing letting go. So, you're, I love your words. You are uptight. I love the way you talk. I am uptight. I am uptight. All right. Well, feel being uptight. And then be willing to let go. Be willing in the moment of the uptight to let go, to relax, to feel the moment, to feel this moment free of your translation of it. Free of your translation of it. Just allowing yourself to hear it, to feel it, to experience it. That's called living life without conditions placed on that life. So, end of the subject. Second subject. You didn't think we'd get to it, did you? Second subject. I'd like to spend a little time. How much time do I have, Ms. Cranley? All right, we'll see. Because I have 10 or 15 minutes and the subject is time. We'll see how we do. All right. Many of you are experiencing that you have more to do than you have time to do it in. Is that a true statement? That's all right. Now, I would like to give you a very easy way to begin to deal with this on an exciting, dynamic, creative level. I am assuming that you are intelligent enough to look through your life and decide which ones of these things you A, hate doing and no longer need to do, or B, could modify in order to make them more pleasing. I'm assuming you have that much intelligence. So having looked at your life and seen that there are certain things that necessarily must be done, then how do you get through without a sense of pressure and incompleteness and always in the next moment? All right. These two things fit together. You know that there's no such thing as time and space. Now, whether your mind tells you that there is or not is one thing. But you know on one level that there is. An example, if you have a clock, a wind-up clock, out in the middle of a vast desert, that clock has no meaning to the sand it sits on, to the wind that moves over it, to the animals that experience it, to the sun that beats down on it. It has no meaning other than it's the feeling of the object itself. It's a clock. But this funny thing called time inside this clock has no meaning. It's just a clock. It's just a toy moving around, doing what it does. You look at it and say, this runs my life. This, which the rest of the universe says doesn't exist, you say runs your life. So, first, to begin to understand, let's go back to the diagram of science and the subatomic particles in the human body. They have found that between these subatomic particles, there is vast space between each one. The interesting thing is, the deeper science goes in probing deeper and deeper, they're finding more and more space. They're finding much more space between those subatomic particles than they dreamed. And they're certainly found more space than you experience as you walk around with your trillions of cells. You feel pretty compact, don't you? Well, actually, you're not. Remember, you're 99% space. You don't feel that. You feel the compactness. Now, time is like that. When you begin to see that just as in the subatomic particle idea, that there's vast space between each one of those magnificent particles, so is there incredible space between what you would call each moment. There's incredible space between each moment. Years and years and years now, we have talked about folding time. And one of the things that you're going to begin to learn how to do is to travel without time. For those of you going to places like India, halfway across the world, aren't you glad? That's a long way. And 18 hours in a cigar-shaped vehicle, breathing everybody's breath for 18 hours is a tremendous delight, is it not? All right, that's a very low-grade way to travel. And you're going to begin to find that the answer is not to get even faster ships, but there is a way Anyway, you know what I'm going to say. So you'll begin to understand these things. Now, what I'm asking you to understand is that every moment, there is as much space, there's as much openness in each moment as you choose to bring to it. And I mean something easily found. I am assuming that every one of you has experienced something called, I totally lost track of time. You say it. I just lost track of time. Well, what you did is you lost the track. That's exactly what you did. You removed yourself from the track, meaning, and this is the only way out of the trap of time, is that you were so fully in the moment. Let us say that you are hoeing a garden. You can hoe that garden worrying about if you're going to get through the hoeing of the garden so that you can get in your car and go down to your appointment with the lawyers so that you can finish that and get to the grocery store in order to get the food for the dinner tonight, and then you have to clean the table. That is compact time. And what you are actually doing is experiencing all of those things. Do you understand? You are actually, the minute you begin to think about being at the grocery store, you are not hoeing the garden. You are partly in the garden, and you are partly at the grocery store. You are partly in your car. You are compacting. You are filling your life. You are pulling all of those events into the moment. And the moment is filled with all that stuff. And so in reality, you are all doing all those things because you are spending your time thinking about them, worrying about them, puzzling over them, or just being furious about them, whatever it might be. So when you understand what you are doing, that instead of keeping the moment big and vast and open by just smelling the dirt, feeling the motion of the body as the hoe goes in, feeling the sun or the wind or whatever it might be, being aware of the smells, allowing the visual power and pulsation of the flowers to come through, whatever it might be, that is a total moment. And that moment is vast because there's nothing in it but what is. There's nothing in it but you, your body, moving, and what your eyes are seeing and what your ears are hearing and what your nose is smelling. You are totally pulsatingly present, and it becomes a very, very vast, vast moment. Understand, when you begin to think and ponder and fuss, you are actually pulling into your moment all of that. Your decision is, what do you want in your moment? Do you want the power of the present with its incredible, magnificent beauty? I don't care if you're walking down a smog-ridden street. If you begin to do it with that awareness, you know you're going to be breathing anyway. So if you just become totally aware of the whole thing, all of a sudden as you walk, instead of worrying, you know, when you walk, you're not walking, you're already where you're going. And you're already saying what you may or may not say. Remember, we've told you this. 99% of the things that you think you say, you never say. But you're thinking about them all the time. And I want you to know that they are real. You see, you have this idea that if you don't really go and say, listen, I have to tell you this and blah, blah, that isn't real. I am telling you, when you begin to think it, you are beginning to make it real. You have the excitement of being the creative principle, and there you are in your moment, and that is exactly what you are beginning to create. And you create it in 95 different ways. No wonder you get there and you don't know what to say. Because you see, you've tried it every way. You've tried it this way and that way and so on and so on. Well, that is creation of what I would call a fantasy. But the excitement of realizing, I want you to practice. You know, you don't have to believe all of this, wind. All you have to do is have enough good humor to try it. Do you have a better idea? If you have, do it. If you don't have a better idea, try this. You will begin to realize that something, and then all the magic things begin to happen. Just the magic things. You're on your way to a ferry, and the ferry leaves at a certain time, and you look at your clock, and you're not going to make it. Just stay in the present and see if you make it or not. Start trying things. Start living so present and so fully feeling in the moment. You see, instead of feeling your thinking. That's all you do, you know, think. To begin to do this in a pulsating way, then every moment becomes very, 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 very vast. And you begin to get what I think is the magic of living, which is that you realize that it is not in the content of the action that you are performing that brings the bliss of living. It is not in the action that you are performing that brings you happiness. You believe that that is true, so you set up your life filled with as many pleasing moments as you can. But if you've noticed, you've got a lot of boring and displeasing moments in your life. And you are never, my friends, going to get it so that you have 100% pleasing moments. It isn't going to happen. What is the alternative? Is to understand that the pleasure comes from feeling the moment exactly as it is manifesting, exactly as it is manifesting. Totally and completely. No changes to make, nothing to get away from, no one to leave, no one to remove from your life. Just be totally present. And in that, the magic begins to happen. Remember, there is never going to be any more God in any moment, in any place, than there is now. If there is, then this God of yours has favorites. And I don't believe that. My experience to every state of awareness and condition of consciousness that I have experienced in anywhere within and out of the vastness is that the very same amount of what you call God is present in absolutely every particle. That is the magic and the mystery that I ask you to discover. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to change anything. You just have to begin to experience everything. To surrender your desire to have certain things there and to have certain things not there. To just be willing to take a chance and surrender to this moment. And my promise to you is that God is there. Totally, fully, completely, abundantly, dynamically there. In the midst of your most heinous thoughts and in the midst of your most exalted. In your most mundane jobs and in those that you feel are the most worthwhile. It's all the same. It's all the same. So, experience it and find it and be free. You are it. It's in everything. Nothing excluded, ever. It's not possible. There's only one. My friends, there is only one. God is not divided. There's only one. So, I thank you for your being here and your attention. And those of you that would like to sit around and do nothing with us for 10 minutes, you're welcome.